Good evening. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 13 through 17. The apostle here tells us, he says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." Tonight, we're going to examine some simple goals that all of us can reach that will help us do exactly this, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, all of us, I'm sure, have goals in different areas of our lives. If you work, you probably have a goal to get promoted in your company, wherever you work at. You may have goals as a family for a possible future family vacation. If you're a high school student, your goal is to graduate and get that diploma. If you're a college student like myself, your goal is to get your degree so you can get a job. But just as we have goals in our physical lives, all of us as Christians must have goals set for us in our spiritual lives. There are three spiritual goals that we are going to examine tonight that we all can reach. And these daily essentials will help us live complete lives as Christians. The first goal that we all can reach is to have a daily contact with the Word of God. Remember Matthew chapter 4, beginning there, it says there in verse 1 that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We also know that Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. So physically, he was starving. He was very hungry. So Satan was smart. He tempted him right where Jesus was the most sensitive. He told him to command stones to become bread. But Jesus gives us his response there in verse 4 of Matthew 4. He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You see, in our physical lives, it is important for us to nourish our physical bodies. You know, food gives us nutrients and energy so we can function daily and perform our tasks, whether they be at work or at school or maybe even at home, to the best of our abilities. Also, it is essential that the human body has water, and those in the medical field will tell you that the human body can go days and even weeks without eating and still live. But of course, we know in order to keep your body as healthy as possible, you must not go days and weeks without eating, but eating daily on a consistent basis. But just apply that over to your spiritual life. You cannot expect to be a strong Christian or a faithful steward in God's kingdom if you go days and weeks without being fed the bread of life. What if your only contact with God's word was today, Sunday? Is one day per week of God's word sufficient enough? What if you were to eat only one or two meals a week? How healthy would you be physically? If you would just eat one meal a week, you would indeed not be healthy physically. Likewise, if this is your only spiritual meal of the week, or if this is the only day that you receive spiritual food, chances are you're not very healthy spiritually. In order to thrive and to live well in your Christian life, you must get fed God's word every single day. And don't just expect to be spoon-fed either. You cannot expect to just get the God's word from the Bible class teacher or from the preacher. But this is something that's going to take a great amount of effort on your part every day on your own studying. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, Jesus, of course, is speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says there in verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." By increasing a knowledge of God's word, we learn more about him and his will. And as a result of that, God's law, Jesus says here, it's righteousness, it's the truth. And as Christians, we need to be the blessed that Christ talks about here. We must hunger and thirst to be filled with this bread of life. But this hunger and thirst for righteousness must not just occur on the Lord's day, but every single day of the week. In James chapter 4, in verse 8, James 4 and verse 8, he writes here, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." By increasing the knowledge of God's word, we learn more about him and his will. And as a result of this, we begin to draw near to him. But maybe you're one here tonight who, and you used to be drawn near to God, but now you feel as if he is nowhere to be found in your life. The question you need to ask yourself is who moved? Who has stopped being faithful? Who stopped fulfilling their commitment? Who is no longer making the efforts to build a relationship? Ask yourself who moved. Remember, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The 119th Psalm gives us many benefits that we can gain from God's Word, and I want to take a brief look at just some of those this evening. Psalm 119. The first passage I want to look at is verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Have you ever gone camping or maybe taken a walk in the woods at night? How easy is it to take that walk when it's dark outside? Chances are you need a flashlight because you need a light pointing down at your feet and a lamp for your path so you can see where you're stepping. Last summer, I had the distinct privilege of preaching for the Connersville Church of Christ, which is a little bit southwest of Richmond. They didn't have a full-time preacher at the time, so this was an opportunity for me to go there and get some experience. I was able to stay with one of the elders there and his wife, and they lived on the country road, and just up the hill from where they lived, was their second youngest daughter, and she lived there along with her family, her husband and her three children, who were all around the teenage years. And every Friday night, the young people would get together, and we would have a Bible study and a singing and devotion and just a time for us to enjoy each other's company. And each Friday night, it was at somebody's home. Well, one Friday night, it was at their daughter's home. And so I decided, well, I'm not gonna drive that short distance, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to walk to their house and get some fresh air and some exercise. So I did. And when I left, it was about 6:45, so the sun was still out, and I was still able to see. But when I left their house, after we were all done, that sun went down. And after I got out of their driveway, and I started walking about 50 or 60 yards out of their driveway, I realized that I can't even see where I'm going. It's so dark out here, I could barely even see my hand in front of my face. So I went back into their house, and I asked for a flashlight. And I used that flashlight to guide my way back to their house. You see, spiritually, living in this dark world of sin, if you don't have a light for your path and a lamp for your feet, you're going to stumble. And you're going to fall, and you won't make it home. Take advantage of the benefits of God's Word. Take advantage of the light that it gives you to guide you in the path you should walk. Look at verse 140. "Your Word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it." God's Word is pure, it's holy, it's without blemish, it's perfect. It's without spot. Therefore, as being God's servants, we all should love it. Now, what do you do with something or someone you love? You hopefully spend as much time with that person as possible. You know, what would happen in a friendship if one best friend would say to the other, you know, I'm only gonna spend 1 hour a week with you? What would happen to their relationship? Well, week after week after week, that friendship would get weaker and weaker and weaker. If this is the only time that you spend with God's Word, you're saying to Him, God, I only have time for just 1 hour with you a week. What's going to happen to your relationship with God? It's going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. But make sure you show this love for God's Word and spend as much time with it as you can. Look at verse 148. It says, my eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Also, if you keep your finger there and turn to the first psalm, the writer here gives us a good contrast of the blessed man and an ungodly man. But he tells us there in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 1 that blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You see, God does not require that we study his word all the time, 24/7. But our daily walk as Christians should exemplify a dedication to learning more about him. Morning, noon, and even nighttime, we should study when our mindset is right. And I'm sure most of us here have studied when we have burned the midnight oil. And no matter what time it is, daytime or nighttime, our desire should be for God's Word. Look at verse 169 of Psalm 119. He says, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. You see, your daily contact with the Word of God must also be accompanied by a prayer unto him. Take time to meditate. Take time to pray unto him before you study, that he will guide you as you go throughout a devotion with his word. A daily contact with God's word is important for you because the Bible provides you with a guide as to how you are to conduct your life. You need that light in this dark world of sin. So the first goal you can reach as a Christian is to have a daily contact with God's word. Next goal you can reach is to have a daily self-examination. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, we read there that it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And one way we can make sure that we are faithful as Christians is to test ourselves, to examine ourselves. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul writes here, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? See, this goal of self-examination should not always be interpreted as a negative, but you must take an honest evaluation of your life. Ask yourself what you can do to help out your family members, your friends, and what you can do to help build up the Lord's church here at Knollwood, and many other things. All of us need to take a close look at where we are spiritually and make sure you are never content. Make sure you are never content with your spiritual growth and maturity level. Because once you're happy with where you are at spiritually, then you're not going to grow anymore like you should. Look at James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James 1, verses 22 through 25. He says here, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Most of us, I'm sure and I hope, before we came here tonight, we looked in the mirror. Now just think about what the purpose of a mirror is. What do you use it for? You use it to see if there's anything out of place or wrong with your physical appearance. You see a reflection of yourself. I can make a personal application of this today. We went out, there was a number of us who went to Longhorn for lunch. And I had this long, I had a full rack of ribs. And if you've ever eaten ribs with your fingers get, you know, pretty messy and you get them on your face and so forth. Well, I went to the restroom after eating that to wash up, and I saw just a little bit of barbecue sauce right underneath my lower lip. And I used that mirror to see what was wrong with my physical appearance. And I cleaned it off. Now, what would have happened, though, if I saw that barbecue sauce and I had walked away? I didn't do anything to change it. I would have been just like the man that James is talking about here in this passage. You look in God's Word. If you see the error and sin in your life, and you just walk away and don't do anything to change it, then why have a Bible? You must use the Bible in your spiritual life just like you use a mirror in your physical life. That's the purpose of it, to see a reflection of yourself, to see a reflection of where you are spiritually, to see if you need to make any changes in your life, to wipe off that barbecue sauce. We are very blessed to have a complete and perfect book that is our standard of the way we should live. And it contains all things that pertain to life and godliness. Therefore, we should look into it every single day to examine ourselves to see if we are truly indeed living godly lives. So reach these goals of daily contact with God's Word and of a daily self-examination. And the third goal we all can reach is praying to God every day. Let's turn back to Psalm 119 and read verse 76. Psalm 119 and verse 76 says there, "Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word, to your servant." In the greatest times of struggle and trials in our lives, prayer unto God can be a comfort to us. It's supposed to do that for us. And it is only natural for us to pray more often in our troubles than in our more prosperous times. But however, we should pray to God for both comfort and strength in our trials, and also thank Him for the rich blessings that all of us here can enjoy. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 to pray without ceasing. We also find Jesus in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 36, in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying the same prayer to His Heavenly Father three times in a row. How important is your prayer life to you? Do you pray without ceasing? Now, I don't want to see a show of hands, but how many of us here, how many of you pray after you wake up in the morning, as soon as you wake up, to thank God for keeping you safe throughout the night and allowing you to wake up and to enjoy another beautiful day in His creation? How many of you pray when you wake up in the morning? How many of you pray, maybe you eat breakfast, maybe you're in a rush, but how many of you take the time to say a quick prayer to God? Do you pray before you leave for work or for school in the morning or to run your errands? Right now, I'm a college student at Wright State, but before I went there in the fall of last year, I spent my first 2 years after high school going to Sinclair. And When I was there, I was able to meet and talk with area young Christians from different congregations, including here, and it was a good 2 years I spent there. But I had a very humbling experience there, my first year in the spring quarter. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, they have a building, and the upstairs they have the gym, and the downstairs they have a cafeteria where they, of course, serve food and have a couple of big screens. Well, I was down there one day. I just got done eating my lunch, and I was watching some ESPN when I should have been studying. But I saw a young man who I knew. He was a Christian, and I was sitting at one end of the cafeteria, and he came in with his lunch, and he sat down pretty much on the other clear end of the eating place there. And I watched him. And before he ate, he folded his hands, and he bowed his head, and I had no doubt as to what he was doing. He was saying a prayer to God. And he probably stayed like that for a good 5 to 10 seconds. And I remember watching him and knowing how I felt at that time. And truthfully, I was very embarrassed and very ashamed because I had just eaten my lunch and I had not even thanked God to bless it. I didn't even pray to God like this young man did. But ever since that point, I told myself, you know, it doesn't matter where I am or who I'm with, or whatever the circumstances may be. If we're not going to pray together as a group before we eat, well, I'm surely going to do it on my own. Make sure your prayer life unto God is very important to you. We talked about, in the first point of having a daily contact with God's Word, how you need to build a relationship by drawing near to Him. Well, another way to build a relationship with God is to have effective communication. Now, communication goes two ways. You must listen, and you must also talk. If you're reaching this first point of having a daily contact with God's Word, you're fulfilling one of those two ways of communication. Because, of course, the Bible is God's way of Him talking to us. That is when we are listening. But if you don't spend time talking back to God, then your relationship with Him is not going to be where it should be. Let's turn to James chapter 5. James 5, verses 13 through 16. He writes there, Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're one here tonight who is, if you're struggling physically, but especially if you're struggling in your spiritual life, make your needs known to your brethren. If you don't make your needs known to your brethren, then you're not using the power of prayer to your advantage. You're not allowing your brethren to pray for you because you're limiting the good they can do for you by praying to God for your sake. Also look at Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Paul writes here, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Your prayer to God must include petitions, praise, and also thanksgiving for all that He has blessed you with. And it is with this thanksgiving that you are to make your requests known unto Him. Even thank Him before He grants your wish. And make sure you never underestimate the power of prayer in your life. So these are the three goals that all of us here can reach. To have a daily contact with God's Word. Make sure that you set aside a certain time every day, either in the morning or at night, or at a convenient time on your own schedule, to sit down and have a diligent study with God's Word. Pick out a topic or pick out a letter in the New Testament or whatever, and make sure you get that subject down in your mind. Use that time to diligently study. Make sure you examine yourself every day to see if where you are spiritually is right with God. Use that Bible as a mirror to see a reflection of your spiritual state. And of course, make sure every single day you spend time in prayer with God without ceasing. Now, can you reach these goals? Of course you can. But only if you want to. It has to be a decision based on your part. You see, God's requirements of us are not impossible for us to accomplish. But these are just three basic spiritual goals that will help us all live faithful lives as Christians. Now, I'm not saying that if you reach all three of these that you're going to be a perfect Christian. But these are indeed a very good, solid foundation to build your life upon. Once you reach these three goals, if you haven't already, make more goals for yourself in the spiritual realm. Make a goal one day to teach a Bible class, whether it be here at the building or in a private study with a neighbor or a friend in someone's home. And if you're a man, set goals for yourself to do more in the service unto God, to do more in the worship service. Set an even higher goal for yourself than that, to become a leader in the Lord's church one day, to be a deacon and even an elder one day. But make sure you set your goals high as a Christian in your life and reach them all. If you're one here tonight who maybe you are already a Christian, maybe you haven't even set many goals in your life like you should be. Sin may be keeping you from that point. And if that is so, you can come forward and confess your sins, and we will indeed pray for you and with you and encourage you in that realm. But if you're not a Christian, make sure you come forward tonight believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing that He is the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism so that you can be added by God into the body of Christ. If you're one who is subject to the gospel call in any way, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.